Congresswoman Carol Shea Porter, thanks for joining us. Welcome to All Things Considered.
Thank you. Very happy to be here.
You say America needs a comprehensive jobs plan to move the recovery forward at a faster pace. To start, what would be the essential elements as you see them in such a comprehensive plan?
Well, number one, I think that we have to address our problem with infrastructure. And as we look around the whole country, we see a lot of bridges that are on the red list. You know, they're dangerous bridges. We see the fact that our roads are in rough shape, our trains are in rough shape, and, of course, our communication structure needs work as well. So we have to have a system that really works better, that should be cutting edge, and we have people who could fill those jobs. So we have to work on the infrastructure. But the other thing that we need to do is we have to take a look at what's happening not just to small businesses but also to corporations, where the jobs are, and what their biggest complaint has been, which has been that there needs to be more consumer demand. 70% of our economy is driven by consumer demand. So it's not going to work to follow the Republican Tea Party prescription of just shocking the whole economic structure with the austerity program. It is going to call, because if you do that, then if people don't have money in their pocket, they won't go into the store and they won't purchase. And if they don't purchase, then the stores won't be hiring. So basically, we need to grow, as the president says, grow from the middle. And we need to support business and we need to help companies create these jobs. So I think one of the things that we need to do is to bring the jobs home. And in order to do that, we've got to make it attractive for them to come back. I think Republicans and Democrats agree about that. And what I think would work is if we give them a tax credit for moving expenses and take away the tax credits for moving out of this country, I think we could lower the corporate tax rate. It's high, but the reality is that a few years ago, CNN said that 2/3 of U.S. corporations don't pay any tax. So, you know, fixing the tax structure so we lower the tax rate, but we actually start collecting it and people pay it and corporations pay it would be helpful as well.
I wanted to come back. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I'll stop and then you.
Oh, I was going to ask because you had said the way to really get the economy moving again in part is to stimulate consumer demand. And I'm curious how you would see the government playing a role in creating more demand.
Well, as for the creating the infrastructure, investing in the infrastructure would certainly give people work. And when they have work, then they have income. When they have income, then that would create the demand for other products as well. So you don't want to shock the economy so that people don't have any money. There won't be any demand if people don't have any income. So, you know, it's a balance because we certainly want to work on reducing our debt and deficit. But we need to do that in a gradual, more responsible manner so that we don't somehow or another, you know, shock the economy too much. But there's other ways that we can do this, of course. We know that if we help veterans, if we pass more legislation and reward companies for bringing in returning veterans or give tax credits for people who hire interns. So if an intern comes from a high school or a tech school and comes into a business, we can provide a tax credit if they keep them hired there. So it's looking not just at one solution, but a number of answers. And my feeling is that this country has always been able to think and work its way out of trouble. It is in our DNA to succeed. This is not the first time that this country has faced economic difficulty. And so we have to think creatively and we have to compromise on these issues. And I think that's what's been missing.
As we go forward, though, taking all of the different approaches as a broader whole, I mean, we're looking at a situation where a lot of economists are saying whatever comes next, the recovery is likely to be pretty slow, steady, but slow for some time, years really, before there's some genuine sustained growth. If we're talking about tax credits here and infrastructure improvements there, essentially how much of that investment does there have to be? What's the size going to have to look like if we're really going to pick up the pace?
Well, to talk about the size right now without all of the facts here, all of the amount of income that could be coming in, that should be coming in right now, the first thing that we need to do is to make sure that we actually have, and everybody agrees on this, that we actually have a fair tax structure. And there needs to be revenue coming into this country. We won't have the growth that this country needs if this country doesn't have enough revenue. And people, Republicans and Democrats, when they are sitting together and say, look, all right, we've got to get more revenue here, because revenue will help provide that growth that we're talking about. And so where do we look for that revenue? And you just simply cannot go to small businesses, and you can't go to the middle class anymore and ask for that. You're right, they have too much of a struggle right now. But Warren Buffett did the country a big favor, and of course he's the third wealthiest man in the world, and he came out and said that this simply is not fair, that people of his income hold what he called the nuclear weapon, that all the advantages are there, and said that it's not fair that his secretary actually pays a higher effective rate. So we need revenue so that we can work on these projects. And where do we find the revenue? We have a Republican Congress who have, I think all but seven, have taken the Grover Norquist pledge. And Grover Norquist pledge is, of course, as your listeners know, to never bring in any revenue, to never raise taxes at all. And so without revenue, we are frozen in cement, unable to move this country forward, unable to change this situation. So I think that I have heard some Republicans say, I heard one say it on Fox News the other night, that it is going to be a combination of bringing in revenue, not simply just trying to cut programs. So that is going to do that, to grow the economy, we are going to have revenue. And, of course, that is where the fight starts, and that's where the fight sits right now.
But at the same time, you're also calling for some specific changes in the tax code, including tax breaks. One, for example, that you talked about is making the tax code reflect that the government should be providing some kind of assistance toward encouraging new technologies. And you've also been critical of subsidies for oil and gas companies, which one could argue were put in place to aid economic growth. So my question is on these tax credits. Is what's to say that tax credits toward encouraging new technologies couldn't then in 15 or 20 years turn into the same sort of thing that critics are pointing to with the oil and gas subsidies now?
Well, that's the wonderful thing about Congress. They're able to legislate, and if they pay attention to this and if they care enough to make sure that we're moving in the right direction, they're able to change the law, end it, add it, or do whatever is necessary. The problem is when you see a mature industry like the oil company or nuclear industry, you know, receiving help, and you see this new wave of green technology that is ready to explode, and yet they are neglected. And we do know that when small companies launch, especially these tech companies, they need about 5 to 7 years of reliable tax law and reliable subsidies or whatever it is that we're doing to help them launch. But it is worthwhile to do that for a number of reasons. So I like the fact that we're actually having this conversation. I think it's good that Americans are looking at this now. I think it's great that Americans recognize that there's subsidies for oil in the bill, that they're picking up the tab. And so we're talking about opportunity and we're talking about fairness. There's actually more that can be done for small businesses. I think that we can help them compete with the large corporations on government contracts and infrastructure projects. I think we can help them with their taxes. I think we can simplify their paperwork. I mean, there is truth to the fact that they drown in paperwork. And so while we all want proper regulation, I think it's honest to say, yeah, you know, some of this is too much, and to try to free them up as much as possible. For the startups, I think it's reasonable to say, why don't we just double the amount of deductions they can take for startups? These are all things that can help stimulate the economy. But the reality is that in order for this country to grow, to pay its bills, to do what it needs to do, we have to have a combination. And I think that's where we're frozen in Washington, with all of the Republicans, except for, I think, seven, as I indicated, refusing to look at increasing revenue.
On the question of paperwork, if we were to add some of these targeted tax breaks that you're calling for into the tax code, would that not, though, mean at least a little bit more paperwork for anyone who is trying to take those credits, making sure that they're complying with the code and demonstrating that they qualify?
I'm pretty sure they wouldn't mind doing paperwork for that, you know, if it was going to be helpful. And the other point is that this is taxpayer money, and we do need to be responsible stewards and make sure that the money is being spent wisely and appropriately. So I think all of us understand that that paperwork that verifies that we're doing what we say we're doing, especially if we're either borrowing money or receiving any kind of grant money, is a wise, responsible thing to do. It's the extra paperwork. I remember reading about brownies and when the Pentagon buys brownies and they have all these rules and regulations that go on for pages about purchasing brownies. So I think it's the government's responsibility to make sure that, that the food is, you know, safe and that we can eat it. But I think all of the extra paperwork is an example of what we could do without and how we could simplify this. So, and it is true that when businesses are asked about what their biggest problems are, they do talk about their concern about consumer demand, whether it will be there or not. And they don't list the regulation as the number one problem there, but it is something that's still real.
I wanted to ask about a suggestion you had for sort of a business equivalent of a Roth IRA, a special account with some tax benefits that would allow people looking to someday start a business to save toward that without, as you put it, dipping into their retirement savings. But how much of an impact would that have? Would it be enough, say, to offset the changes in lending that we've seen since the start of the Great Recession, where a lot of people say now, you know, I can't get a bank to lend me money no matter how qualified I am to start my business up?
Well, first of all, I was speaking to a community banker about a week ago, and he told me that they do have money to lend, and that's a misperception. This is a community bank. So I was happy to hear that, and it shows the situation's gotten better. And during the Great Recession, of course, the Congress that I was in took steps to make sure that the SBA was there and strong for small businesses. And we took a number of steps to make the money more available and that they wouldn't have to pay the fee to get it. And the SBA moved the amount of money that was guaranteed or protected up to 90%, I think. But at any rate, those are steps that help. And these are all things that can be done. But if you talk to a small business owner and they're faced with either dipping into the retirement savings, which it has to be a pretty frightening prospect at any point in time, or another choice saying, look, you know, we're gonna help you a little bit there, it isn't, and I guess this is what we're all learning, it isn't just one thing, but it's helpful for that particular business, that particular man or woman. But again, when we're looking across the whole country, we're recognizing that we have to tailor these programs and reach out. In other words, big problems require many small solutions as well as, you know, some big solutions. Our economy in New Hampshire is doing better than other areas of the country. We have a much lower unemployment rate. So what works here and what would entice and invite small businesses in this area would be quite different maybe from the Midwest. So we just have to make sure that we're trying many different vehicles, you know, on the road to success, that we don't just settle on one. But again, I return to the point that if we don't have any revenue and we don't work to grow this economy and invest in this country, then we're not going to make the progress forward as quickly as we should.
Last question, and this is one we're asking all candidates. What should Granite Staters be looking for with these policies to see whether or not they have... Let me ask this again. Last question, and this is one we're asking of every candidate. As you push for these policies, what should Granite Staters be looking for 2 years from now to see whether or not they are economically better off or not than they are here in 2012?
Well, I start, of course, in looking back to December of 2008, because I was there in Congress. And so I start to measure from that point where the headlines were absolutely terrifying in the newspapers. And the worst headline I can remember seeing was, next year will be even worse. And so when I look to where we are right now and where we were, I say, okay, we did great things. We kept the country from falling into depression. You know, we did pass a stimulus, which did work. Most economists now say that it did work, which is a great thing to hear, because we were, you know, doing the best that we could in very, very difficult circumstances. And so I'm proud of what we did. We saved the auto industry. There's 27,000 jobs in New Hampshire today that wouldn't be here if we didn't do that. So I look from where we were. Now, where will we be in 2 years? Our unemployment rate across the country is now 7.8. And I'm hoping and expecting that with reasonable policies that we can see that come down. My hope is that when we look in 2014, we'll say yes. You know, Democrats came into Congress. They did pass a comprehensive jobs bill. It did put people back to work. We did continue to help small businesses. I looked again at 2008 and what was happening to people's 401ks, their retirement plans, and we know what happened. And I look now and see my own and others growing back. And I hope that when we look forward in 2 years, we'll say, yeah, and the 401ks got even stronger. So there's a lot that has to be done. We have to still do something to make sure that all Americans can go for the American dream. So we have to work on fairness. We have to work on opportunity. We have to work on helping middle-class families to get work, stay employed, work towards retirement, and make sure their kids get educated. And finally, I hope that when we look in 2014, we say the Democrats came to Congress. They saved the social programs that vulnerable Americans and older Americans rely on, Medicare, Social Security, and these programs. And they were able to also do the things that I mentioned because they put in a reasonable policy that they looked for the savings. They made sure that they did whatever they could in that department. And they also were reasonable about bringing in revenue from corporations hadn't paid their taxes, that we brought business home, and that we made it fairer so that those who are at the very, very wealthiest on the scale actually paid what I consider to be their fair share. Senator Coburn, who of course is a conservative senator from Oklahoma, wrote a booklet called Subsidies of the Rich and Famous. And he talks about how the middle class has to subsidize so many of these programs. And it's my hope that we'll have cleaned up that and made sure that it's just a fairer land in 2014. And I believe we can do that. I believe that we can do all of the above if we work hard, we compromise, and we recognize that we cannot stay stuck in this ideological cement anymore.
Carol Shea Porter, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you. Nice to talk to you.